Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Welcome back to season two of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes. This is George Soroy. Thank you so much for being here. And I really hope you enjoy my contribution to the National Podcast Post Month Challenge. The National Podcast Post Month Challenge, or NAPOD POMO, is very simple. You record, edit, and post an episode of your show every day for 30 days. Even though I am playing a little bit of catch up recording on the 3rd for both of these episodes, I look forward to being back on track to record one episode per day. And this season, the focus is on my experience writing for both the stage and the big and small screen, and my many starts and stops along the way. I really hope that you will enjoy this episode, as well as the rest of the stories that I have to tell. Since this is basically the beginning of it all, I feel I might as well just go back to the beginning of it all in terms of myself as a storyteller. That is when I was in fourth grade, and my friends and I would start drawing these characters, very rudimentary, very basic, rectangular, box-shaped type of robots. And we were inspired by Transformers, G.I. Joe, Voltron, Star Wars, Star Trek, all of the great shows and movies that we just couldn't get enough of. And we wanted to start creating our own group. I remember one of my friends at the time, he had this little short story about a robot character. I looked at that and I thought, wow, that would be a really fun character to have as part of a team of robots. And then I just started coming up with one and then another one and then another one. And my other friends started joining in and they started coming up with their own. And it was a lot of fun designing all these different characters. It was as basic as you can possibly get with the artwork, but it was fun creating a little bit of a lore, heroes, villains, all of this stuff. I kept on going at it, especially the next year. The next year, I was in fifth grade, and halfway through my year at St. Mary's Elementary School in Poughkeepsie, New York, I wound up going back to public school. And all of a sudden, here I am in a completely different environment with a handful of people that I remembered from kindergarten and first grade. We had all lost track of each other, but now all of a sudden, here I am back with them. So it was like reconnecting with people and connecting for the first time with other people. It was a very interesting experience, I should say. Basically, what wound up happening there was I just kept on picking at these characters and was adding a little extra to them. And even in sixth grade, that was my favorite year in elementary school, I was encouraged by my teacher to keep going with these characters. When he saw that I wanted to write my own comic book, he was all for it. Granted, the artwork sucked, and the designs of the characters sucked, and the story was very, very basic. It was all just kind of introducing all these characters and trying to figure out what they were going to be and having their first mission and meeting all the heroes, meeting all the villains, all of that stuff. It was all just like in what I wound up saying it was going to be, which was a 4-issue limited series. And I was really inspired by Transformers Generation 1, although at that time it was just simply Transformers because the only generation that was there was the original Transformers. I was just ripping off all the different stuff that I was watching, listening to, and loving, and just wanting to put my own spin on it. I was ripping off everything that I saw. I remember I was ripping off Star Trek 3 and when I was blowing up my main character's ship. I was ripping off things like G.I. Joe the movie and Transformers the movie and having a lot of fun with that. I knew that none of it was going to go anywhere, but I wanted to just kind of pick at it. A couple years later, I made the move to Richmond, Virginia. And I brought my characters with me, and I just kept on working at them. And I just knew that there was something there, something that I was going to enjoy, and something was going to crack, and it was going to be something that I could really sink my teeth into. I remember it was seventh grade when I created this bad guy character who started out being called Renegade, and then I wound up calling him something else. It was fun discovering all these different types of characters and seeing where they would go. What was really interesting during that time was that when I was in eighth grade, I kept on working at these guys and I was creating some new characters to go with them. And I started thinking about, you know, like, how fun would it be if we were able to make these into a movie? And what was really interesting about that, about my own take on it, was I started kind of putting together my own posters for if these characters would be in a movie. And then I took that extra step and it used a whole bunch of 3x5 note cards. And on the back of those note cards, it was just a plain white background, no lines on them. And I used those to basically create my own opening credits for movies based on these characters. And I was assigning different roles to friends, and they all got a kick out of it. They knew that nothing was going to come of it, but it was one of those things where I guess I was kind of manifesting things, just thinking that if I do this, if I really put the focus on these opening credits, I can see it play out in my mind. And that was just my idea. It was just like, I want to see what this looks like if I were to actually write out these opening credits, put in these different kinds of drawings with them, and then going into my soundtrack collection and picking the right kind of music to go with it and really having fun with it. And surprisingly enough, this was something that I would wind up doing all the way through my senior year of high school. I just knew that there was something there about these characters. I had no idea what they would be. This is going back to eighth grade, but through ninth grade and then 10th grade. Ninth grade is when it made a shift, because what I wound up doing there was I started writing about them. I felt like I had hit the wall in terms of the artwork. I was doing some comic art before, but nothing was coming of it. And so I just started writing. I started filling notebook paper with pages upon pages upon pages of these stories. And I just kept going. Next thing I knew, I had a couple hundred pages. It was fun being able to rediscover these characters in this form. At the same time, I was still using those note cards and putting together these elaborate opening credit sequences. For me, opening credits are very important because they set the tone for what the movie is going to be, for the story you're about to tell. I wanted to have some fun with that and see what it would look like if it were my own characters, my own stories, see what it looked like if they were to actually make that move onto the big screen. I was definitely inspired by opening credit sequences like Superman. That one really stuck with me forever, because that was one that I saw when I was 2 years old. And the only real impression that they made was that the opening credits scared the hell out of me, because I was two. I didn't know what the hell I was looking at, but I was fascinated by opening credits. And so it was fun just trying to see, how can I properly set up this particular story? How can I set up this series? What can I do with this character? And just going off on it. Again, this is one of those things where I knew none of this was going to go anywhere, but it was fun to do. And I'm so glad that I did it looking back, because it really did act as sort of like my first real manifestation, you can say, because eventually in 1992, one of those characters would be born and he would be Excelsior. Over 30 years later, he's in book form. And I'm really happy to say that next year he's going to be back out in bookstores because Ronan Weatherford are going to be releasing this new version of Excelsior and Ever Upward. Once I finish part three, Greater Glory, that's going to join them too. So it's something that I would definitely say is as a very interesting take on manifestation, I guess. I just believed that somehow these characters would find their way to where they need to be. And that is really just the start of everything that I do as a storyteller. So that's where this episode ends, but there's much more to come in the next episode and beyond. So until that next episode, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@hesgotit.com.